Hey, who do you think you are? Wait, that didn't sound right. Let me start again. Who do you think you are? Give us some thought, because how we answer this question may be the key to something wonderful. Welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown, and I got to tell you something. It's kind of fun. Once upon a time, I think I felt a little sheepish if someone asked me, where do you go to church? Or do you come from a faith tradition? I think one reason for my reluctance to openly embrace Christian Science was because I knew what the next question would be. What is that? And I think, uh-oh, here we go. But as I've become more serious as a student of Christian Science, learn more about my relationship to God and what God really is, I've become more confident, even eager to share what I've been learning. I'm pretty sure Nikki Paulk understands that enthusiasm because not only is she in the public healing practice of Christian Science, she's a Christian Science teacher. She teaches others how to heal by taking a spiritual approach, an approach that's available to everyone. And who wouldn't want to understand that better? Nikki, welcome back to Sentinel Watch.
Thank you very much. It's so great to meet you again. What a joy.
Yeah, I had such a great time meeting you here on Sentinel Watch earlier this year. And again, getting to meet you in person at the annual meeting of the Mother Church in Boston recently. It was like connecting with a longtime friend, I must say.
That's right.
And you mentioned the oneness of God and how that heals.
Yes.
Did you have an experience that brought this into focus for you? Did something happen?
Yes, I've actually had many of those, and I believe all human error or challenges, disease and lack of any kind, stems from a belief of being separated from God, good, from divine love, truth, from wisdom and other qualities of God. But if we recognize our oneness with God, we get in tune with everything good that constitutes God. And that brings a healing effect. One time I had a growth on my stomach, the size of half a golf ball, which had developed all within only 1 week, getting bigger every day. And I honestly didn't know what to think about it. And of course, all the questions as to why and what is it came pouring in. And I must admit, I don't usually get afraid of anything physical, but this time I did. I was home alone at the time. My husband was overseas for work, and we were to meet up at a remote island out in the Indian Ocean on the other side of the globe. It was 10 o'clock at night, and I had to drive to the airport early in the morning, so I had 8 hours to both pray about the situation and pack my stuff. I decided to listen to one of Mary Baker Eddy's books, Miscellaneous Writings, on audio, which I did for 5.5 hours nonstop.
Let's stop to be clear for folks who may not know who you mean by Mrs. Eddy. We're talking about Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, right?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the books she wrote, Miscellaneous Writings, is so full of instructions, answers, clarifications about God and our relationship to Him. Mind-blowing inspiration, in my opinion.
And, right.
And so many healing truths. So the first half an hour I listened to it, I noticed the fear completely vanished. And the next 5 hours, I just soaked up the truths I was listening to. And one of them was this statement: thought imbued with purity, truth and love, instructed in the science of metaphysical healing, is the most potent and desirable remedial agent on the earth. That stood out to me. I thought, my thoughts and aims are pure, I love the truth about God and man being one, and I embody the power of divine love, which is the most potent remedy on earth. And I remember what Mrs. Seti said in another book about this power of divine love. She said, "I saw the love of God encircling the universe and man, filling all space. This divine love so permeated my own consciousness that I loved with Christ-like compassion everything I saw. The realization of this divine love brought into expression the beauty of holiness, the perfection of being, and saved, regenerated, and healed all those who turned to me for help." That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And with these spiritual truths and many more, I stopped the audio and had a complete transformation of my consciousness. And I knew my thought had been healed.
Your thought had been healed?
Yes. I wasn't looking to heal matter, but correct my thought and recognize my connection, my oneness with my maker. So I wasn't occupied with the physical picture anymore. It was a shift in thought. That is what took place. I knew the externalization of this new thought, this new state of consciousness, would soon follow.
You did have a shift of perspective there. You had been so worried about that.
There's this saying that comes to mind in the Bible, "I shall not fear what flesh can do unto me." And that's how I felt. And so I slept 2.5 hours and got up on a 32-hour trip to my final destination. And as soon as I opened the door to my hotel room, the skin on my stomach opened and started to discard whatever didn't belong. And this went on for some days. Then the place closed up, healed, left no trace, and that was the end of it.
Wow.
It was a complete healing.
What a wonderful healing.
Yes, and I think it's important to understand that what we refer to as matter is thought. It's what we believe about it, externalized.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful experience that you had, and it underscores, I think, what you were talking about, the oneness of God, your oneness with God.
Yeah.
Because when I first heard you mention that, I thought, well, you know, Christian Science isn't unique in being, you know, monotheistic, you know.
Yes.
How does Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, as we were calling her, how does she explain that oneness, and what does that mean when you talk about the oneness of God?
Mm-hmm. It's recognizing that God is the only cause. Every cause has an effect. And when God is the only cause, and God is good, the effect has to be good. And we, as God's children, as his image and likeness, we are the effect of God's doing expressed. And recognizing that relationship changes everything, changes your perspective of how you view things.
You know, I think you're saying a lot there that some of us can kind of gloss over sometimes. I'll just speak for myself that maybe I kind of gloss over, because when I think of cause and effect, sometimes I think I objectify whatever it is that's bothering me, or, you know, whether it's relationship or some kind of sickness, I objectify that almost as if I'm accepting a material effect for which there's some kind of material cause.
Right.
And then I know, as someone who is grown up in Christian Science, I know that what Christian Science teaches, what it draws out of the lessons of the Bible, is this idea that God is the only cause, as you were saying. But if I really understand that to be true, I've got to let go of this idea that there can be some other effect that's out of sync with that statement that God is all is spirit, and I am part of that oneness.
Mm, that's true. That's right. And this is exactly what Jesus knew. He never bought into the human picture. He never bought into lack or disease or evil. He saw God's own likeness expressed in every person and the harmony of God everywhere. It was a different state of consciousness that he had.
Hmm. If you accept in some way, maybe even, you know, without thinking much about it, that there can be an evil, a sickness, even in a relationship, that someone can be in opposition to good.
Mm-hmm.
If you accept that, you can't possibly hold that in your thinking and at the same time believe in this unity of good, this singularity, this oneness of God. They're mutually incompatible. You sort of have to pick sides here.
Yes. And whatever that is governs your experience. And so more than ever before, am I busy seeing more of my oneness with God. And the healings I have from that are wonderful. I had another one concerning a sight issue I had, for example, with realizing that. One night I was lying in bed reading a book and I noticed that everything was blurry. My eyes were stinging and watery and I couldn't even watch TV. The following night, I had the same issue and it seemed as if it wasn't going to stop. I tried to blink it away at first, but of no avail. So I thought, okay, this isn't going away on its own. It's time to recognize my oneness with God again. God certainly isn't having sight issues.
Mm-hmm.
So why should I, as his effect? In order for me to have something, God has to have it first, since he's the cause. So here is how I reasoned it out to myself. In Christian Science, we always start out from perfection. We don't work up to it. We start out from it. Perfect God, perfect man, perfect universe. God is the only cause and effect. And one of the attributes of God is the all-seeing mind, which is individually expressed in all God's children. Therefore, I have perfect sight right now. And that never changed because God never changed. I don't see with matter or through matter.
There's not like a commingling of it. That,
no.
That's the thing, right?
No. That's it. And so I thought, I don't see with matter or through matter. I see in spite of matter. And we get proof of this every night. We just don't think about it. When we close our eyes and dream, in our dreams, we see everything clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I have never heard of anyone wearing glasses or contact lenses in their dreams either. Thought about that? So,
right.
With our eyes closed, we see. And what is doing the seeing? It's always mind, which we are one with. So, I started working with this short truth. I see with perfect mind, the only seer. 3 nights in a row, I work with this truth. And then the blurriness dissolved. And I saw clearly again and had no more discomfort either.
Wow.
The only reason why we think we can only see with our eyes when awake is because we have been educated to believe so. And what we believe is what we see. again, thought externalized. And when the claim loses reality in thought, it disappears. One of the definitions of God in the glossary of science and health with key to the scriptures says the all-seeing. That's the all-seeing mind, divine mind.
The God, all-seeing.
Yes, God, the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-acting, meaning all action. Sight is a form of action. All wisdom, all doing, you could say, proceeds from divine mind. I always call divine mind the doer. That's where all action proceeds from. And I am the individual expression of God's doing, seeing, hearing, and so on. And when I recognize that, a shift takes place in my consciousness. And whatever else seems to be to the contrary loses reality in my consciousness. And when something is no more real to me, I can't be afraid of it, and I can't associate with it, and therefore not externalize it anymore. It becomes nothing.
Nikki, I want to be clear again, if keeping in mind people who may be new to Christian Science or may be wondering, gosh, well, I would like to experience this sort of demonstration.
Yes.
It wasn't something that you said, you know, that was magic in the words. It wasn't the combination of the words.
No.
You were trying to anchor your own perspective in something that you knew to be real.
Yes.
You were, in a way, standing guard with how you were thinking about sight.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I wasn't letting in the conventional beliefs about sight, that I'm an aging, declining mortal, and it's normal for me to have a decline in sight as I mature.
Right, right.
I'm as old or young as God, really.
I like that.
It doesn't matter how many times I have circled around the sun on this planet. Why is that supposed to affect the way I see? That's just a human belief that I don't have to buy into. God certainly isn't seeing that or causing it, so I don't have to be impressed by that human belief. And when I turn to God for what God is knowing and seeing, a shift takes place in my consciousness and it becomes less impressive until it is not impressive at all. And then I can't see it anymore.
Mrs. Eddy has a wonderful, I think this is on page 205 of Science and Health. She says, denial of the oneness of mind throws our weight into the scale, not of spirit, God, good, but of matter. Well, that didn't sound good. But then she goes on to say, when we fully understand our relation to the divine, we can have no other mind but His, no other love, no other wisdom or truth, no other sense of life, and no consciousness of the existence of matter or error.
That's true.
That's what you were seeing quite clearly indeed.
Yes, yes, yes. And I had another, actually, just this last year, I had another wonderful healing by, again, recognizing my unity, my oneness with God. As a child, I was told by the school nurse that I have a long back with a large curvature in the lower part of my spine, larger than normal. And she told me at some point as a grown-up, it would give me trouble or discomfort. Well, that time came around. And it got to a point where I could not get a good night's rest anymore. No position was comfortable. And all I could think about was that prediction, which I had received as a child. But I also knew that this was another opportunity to understand my oneness with God better. The thing is, I never doubt that Christian Science works. Never have. Because it's the teachings of Jesus explained by Mary Baker Eddy, which has all its authority from God, the all in all. So if I haven't had a healing yet, it's only because there is something I have to understand on a deeper level about God and my oneness with Him. And that I can certainly work on since I have the books, I have the tools, the Bible, and Mrs. Eddy's writings. Now, the first thing I started working with in order to spiritualize my thought was to look up the definition of temple in the glossary of Science and Health with key to the scriptures.
Temple.
And temple, yes. It came to me. I said, okay, God, where to start? And the word temple came to thought. And I remember there's a wonderful definition of temple in the glossary. So I went straight to it. In the Bible, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? The word temple here refers to body. And the metaphysical or spiritual explanation of body, as given in Science on Health, reads in part, the idea of life, substance and intelligence, the superstructure of truth, and the shrine of love. And I being the superstructure of truth, a synonym for God, have to be complete, whole, perfect, pure, like my maker. We are one as cause and effect. It reminds me of the first chapter of Genesis when God created the earth and its inhabitants. Everything was in its rightful place. There was no chaos. There was order. And I reasoned with myself, and I reflect that order, meaning nothing can be out of order. And this is the thought I worked with. And quite frankly, I don't know when the healing came exactly, because my thought was so consumed with the truth about God and man that I just noticed one day, hey, I haven't had any pain for a long time. I completely forgot about it. And I could bend over and do all the things freely like I used to.
Wow.
And the thing about pain is, I discovered many years ago as a new student of Christian Science through another healing I had, that the only place pain exists really is in thought. Because the body's unable to talk for itself. It simply doesn't have the intelligence to do that. The body doesn't even know it's supposed to be a body, you could say. The body we see and experience today is an accumulation of the thoughts we have accepted about it so far, expressed. And what we see and feel is a mode of consciousness. Whatever we believe is real governs our experience. And that's why it's so important to always start with God and ask ourselves, is this from God? If it's good, then it is. But if it's not, then it's only an aggressive mental suggestion, suggesting that we are separated from God and that there is sensation in matter, whereas we know matter is sensationless.
Doesn't have any feeling of its own.
It doesn't.
I want to loop back and make sure I understand something. You talked about how you had this curvature of the spine.
Yes.
Is that now you're completely free of that?
Completely free. I was told about some discs that could move and nerves that could be pinched and things like that. The nurse got into a more graphic picture of it, but now I had an opportunity once and for all to unsee the reality of this prediction by recognizing my completeness and oneness with God, which never changes. That was the healing.
What a wonderful healing. And you saw that. You had that change of perspective, which brought about the healing.
Yes. Yes. That was wonderful.
I keep thinking about this notion of oneness of mind. And I think it comes up a lot in our everyday relations with others. I mean, right now there is this idea that we are kind of separated into different camps for a variety of reasons. And I actually had a little experience. I hope you want, would you mind if I shared this? This is kind of related to our time at annual meeting. I had a few minutes of downtime there in Boston, and I went to visit some of the exhibits that are set up in the building that's the home of the Christian Science Publishing Society, which is where Sentinel Watch is produced. And one of the exhibits is a kind of introduction to Christian Science for tourists who might be, you know, visiting the church, that sort of thing. And there was a display that explained what Christian Science teaches, you know, that it's based on the Bible and that healing draws on an understanding of God. And that since we were created in God's image and likeness, we must be spiritual. And it's that shift in perspective that brings about healing. And I thought, wow, isn't that beautifully simple and straightforward?
Yes, you know, it is.
That what is it that we hear at the end of each service? Man is not material. He is spiritual, as Mary Baker Eddy writes in Science and Health. So anyway, I get back home from Boston, and I got to tell you, Nikki, not 2 days pass before I literally meet someone who introduces himself to me as a minister at a nearby church. And just in the course of conversation, asks if I have a faith tradition. And I think, uh-oh, here we go. and we end up sitting down and having a deep and a thoughtful and mutually loving conversation about God and our relationship to God. Not just my relationship or his relationship, but our relationship to God.
Yes.
And about spiritual healing, as he's asking about Christian Science. And when he's asking more about it, I remember that exhibit, that it had that passage from Mary Baker Eddy from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, where she writes, God is all in all, and that man is not material, he is spiritual. And I took it for granted, and yet it is such a clear expression, and I just said it aloud.
Yeah.
This is the essence of what Christian Science is proclaiming to the world, that our very nature is spiritual, and that any other claim about us, it just can't be true. And then there's this pause. And he literally leans back smiling, like he's deeply taking in the implications of that idea. And right before we part ways, he says, hey, can you show me on my phone where your church is? I'd like to come visit. Now, I haven't seen him yet. Of course, he is a minister. He has his own congregation. But we were both so blessed by that conversation, the power, the joyous presence of love. You just couldn't deny it. And driving home, you know, it just dawned on me that any reluctance to share Christian Science, that's gone.
Yes.
And I think that was such a wonderful moment for me in my own spiritual growth, that if I allow myself to get out of the way, open myself up as a kind of a, what would it be, almost like a prism or a piece of glass, and let truth just flow, that you can feel fully confident knowing that not just you, not just him, not these different ideas, but one truth guides you all.
Yeah.
And we can count on that truth to guide us no matter what.
That's beautiful. What a wonderful opportunity.
It was.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, it was. It was. I love that you put this as the oneness of God, because it implies something so important about our very nature as spiritual beings.
Yes, absolutely. And I have to mention, there's another thing that has caused instantaneous healings for me multiple times now, is recognizing that nothing can come between God and us.
Mm.
Nothing can swoop in and separate us. I had an experience one time. I was overseas and I became suddenly very ill to the point where I could not get out of bed, and I had a very hard time praying for myself. So my prayer went like this: God, here I am. I am all yours. Tell me what to do. And the thought came to me, we are one. Nothing can come between us. And I was instantaneously healed. Just that, we are one. Nothing can come between us. From that instant, I knew my thought had been healed again, because I felt the power of divine love just flooding my consciousness and every fiber of my being. Within 10 minutes, I was dressed and having lunch. And what happened here was a complete surrender to God. You, God, can do all things, and whatever you do, I am the effect of, so it must be exquisite. Sometimes I even close my eyes and just ask God to tell me what he's thinking about me, and I listen. And it comes to me in form of thoughts that just pour into my consciousness as love letters. One day, a part of a letter sounded like this: my dear, you originate in me, God. We are inseparable and eternally together, and I am devoted to take care of you and protect you. I will always nurture and nourish you, supplying you with what you have need of. I am your life. I am so utterly fond of you and all my children. I am the only creator, and therefore everything I created is in me, safe and sound. And the letter went on. But this is just a fraction of the wonderful thoughts God has about all of us. And it is so healing to recognize this relationship of love between God and us, which is unbreakable.
Absolutely beautiful. And to think that we can all just claim that love letter from God.
Yes. Yes.
Nikki Paulk is a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from Pontevedra Beach near Jacksonville, Florida. Nikki, thanks so much for joining us on Sentinel Watch.
It was a joy to be here. Thank you.
And a joy to have you. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. The podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noah Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Jeff Turton. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll talk again soon.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.